We return to the death today of Prince Philip, Queen Elizabeth II's husband. Here's a look at the long life and often turbulent times of the Duke of Edinburgh. This report is by Chris Shipp. He's the royal editor of Independent Television News.
He was born Prince Philip of Greece and Denmark in 1921 on the Greek island of Corfu. His mother was Princess Alice of Battenberg, which made Philip a great-great-grandchild of Queen Victoria, just like his future wife. But Philip and his family were forced to flee Greece after a coup, and he ended up at Gordonstoun School in Scotland, where the disciplines of sport and achievement were to shape his future. Because from Gordonstoun, he went to the Royal Navy in 1939 as a cadet.
His Majesty walking down the ranks of the cadets and afterwards taking...
He was at Britannia Royal Naval College in Dartmouth before the war. He'd been asked to entertain the King's daughters during a royal visit. Afterwards, they played croquet in the gardens outside. It was clear a romance had started to blossom in Dartmouth that afternoon. Elizabeth might have been taken with Philip, but war was to take him far away. With the Navy, he fought the Italians and then the Japanese. But the young princess exchanged letters with Philip throughout the war years, which allowed them, when peace finally came, to pick up their romance.
It's easy to see the radiant happiness of the princess.
And in 1947, they got engaged.
As she and her very good-looking husband-to-be posed for the cameras in the palace.
And the wedding, when it came later that year, was to light up a post-war Britain still mired in bomb damage and rations. He had renounced his Greek title, and the king made him the Duke of Edinburgh.
Now the Duke of Edinburgh takes a fatherly hand. His technique being no better and no worse than most fathers.
Prince Charles was the first of the couple's four children, a future king. And the Duke of Edinburgh was promoted to commander. He took charge of his own ship, HMS Magpie, in Malta. So at the beginning of the 1950s, the young couple would lead a life about as close to normal as it ever got.
Here, the royal pair look out over the harbour and points of interest in Valletta.
He had to abandon the career he loved so much with the sudden death of his father-in-law. His wife had become queen. At her coronation the following year, an event he insisted should be televised for the world to see, the Duke took an oath to serve his wife, the Queen, for the rest of his life. He knelt before her and swore to be her loyal follower.
I, Philip, do become your liege man of life and limb, and of earthly worship. In faith and truth I will bear unto you, to live and die, against all manner of folk, so help me God.
His wife was head of state, but what would this young man, the Queen's consort, do now?
Here's Dr. Kurt Hahn, lately headmaster of Gordonstoun School, where the Duke was once a pupil.
The answer came, in part, from the Duke's former headmaster, Dr. Kurt Hahn.
Attention!
In 1956, they channeled their shared interest in sport and voluntary service to launch the Duke of Edinburgh Award Scheme.
These are the boys of Dunstable Grammar School out on fire practice, ably assisted by the local fire brigade.
The main purpose of the scheme is to help boys to find activities which will give them pleasure and satisfaction, perhaps for the rest of their lives.
1,000 completed the award in its first year. More than 2 million 14 to 24-year-olds have achieved the award since then. Prince Philip and his eldest son did share a passion for the outdoors, but often they had a different outlook on life, one a pragmatist, the other a thinker. A difference best articulated by Philip loving everything about Gordonstoun School, but Charles never quite fitting in there. At the time of the wedding and latterly the breakup of Charles and Diana's marriage, the Duke was enormously supportive of Diana. He was once, like her, the royal outsider. But his focus turned to his grandsons William and Harry when Diana's life was cut short by that car crash in Paris. This was a moment when the Duke of Edinburgh had to support his wife at what became a very dangerous time for the monarchy. But later that year, when the Queen and Duke celebrated their golden wedding anniversary, she paid him a personal and rare public tribute.
All too often, I fear, Prince Philip has had to listen to me speaking. He is someone who doesn't take easily to compliments, but he has quite simply been my strength and stay all these years.
and it was also an anniversary for reflecting on how their long and successful partnership had endured.
I think that the main lesson that we've learnt is that tolerance is the one essential ingredient of any happy marriage. And you can take it from me that the Queen has the quality of tolerance and abundance.
And when he announced his retirement from royal duties, Prince Philip did what he does best. He made a joke. This one was about his own advancing years.
I'm sorry that you're standing down. I can't stand up much.
And so it was just a few months later that the Duke bid farewell. And at 96, he completed his final official engagement. He did attend Harry and Meghan's wedding, even though he'd had his hip replaced just weeks before. The Duke showed the world that even at 96, surgery was no reason to miss a big royal occasion. If Queen Elizabeth's reign will be judged a success, it will be in no small part because of the man she married. Yes, the Duke of Edinburgh could sometimes be a little undiplomatic for the diplomats who surrounded him. But in his adopted country, Prince Philip became the joint author of the Second Elizabethan Era. She is the longest-serving monarch in British history, but at her side throughout was the longest-serving consort.
That was Chris Shipp of Independent Television News. And join us Monday night for a PBS NewsHour primetime special, Prince Philip, A Royal Life.